right, folks, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, second hour coming up here with my guest, Cliff Carnicom. And as I mentioned, folks, I'm going to be posting this article up on my website by Cliff Morgellons, Morphology Confirmed. By the way, this will be another short segment, and then we'll go into a long segment after the next break, Cliff. But as I look through here, I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at some of these pictures, and I'll have to tell you, Cliff, you know, these pictures that are depicted here in this article look just absolutely I mean, they're almost alien-like, these pictures of these fibrous materials and so forth. I mean, it's downright scary.
It does appear to be unusual, but, you know, also a person also has to be careful because in the time that I've spent in under the microscope and such, the microscope is an absolutely fascinating place, I have to say, because it's a whole other world. It's a world that few of us really get to see. But it's absolutely incredible the amount of variation and that takes place there. So I try to be very careful because, you know, I'm not a microbiologist by trade by any means. You know, I dig into it as best I can with my tools and my research. So, you know, I try to be cautious, but, you know, and the conservative conclusion here is that there is an anomalous form that obviously requires identification. And if it's perfectly normal, then let's get that out on the table as soon as we can, and then we let the world know that it's perfectly normal to have this cellular structure being destroyed, to have these anomalous forms occurring repeatedly in the blood. If that's the case, fine. But my perspective and impression from what I can gather thus far is it doesn't look like a good condition at all.
Well, let me ask you, Cliff, let me ask you this question. These five subjects that you have taken these samples from, I mean, what other kind of physical or health conditions, you know, effects is this having? I mean, are they constantly tired? Are they suffering from any kind of viral infections or, you know, shortness of breath or any other, you know, lesions on their skin or anything or what?
No, at this point, we have to regard the five individuals, which is actually close to 10 now, and it ends up to 7 to 8 out of the 10 are showing this type of structure within the blood. We have to consider this as a random sample right now of the population, generally on the elderly side. There's no kids involved here yet, which is next. There's no animals involved here yet. But reasonable considered a random sample, and only one of these 10 people is showing, you know, let's say obvious outward manifestations of this condition. But, you know, the work so far is indicating that there appears to be a correlation between, let's say, the extent, distribution, you know, frequency of the anomalies and the manifestation of the condition. Again, you have to be careful with things, and I'm not a doctor again, so I always want to stress that, but I can point the way for research. And there is the question whether or not the greater frequency distribution of this condition within the blood, is there a connection with the manifestation of the condition that is accepted? And, you know, the thing is, we're not talking about isolated cases now with this Morgellons. You know, what's happened over the last 3 weeks is I didn't ask for anybody to contact me on this. I haven't written a paper on this for over a year. Nobody even really knows the work that I'm doing entirely on this. And yet I've had half a dozen people to me over the last 2 weeks that have contacted me saying, hey, I have this. This is not anything unusual. And it's not unusual, but I'm saying I have this. I've had it for quite some time. And I've met with some of those people already, and the symptoms are quite evident. It's quite clear. This is not something that it may not be as rare as we think. The manifestation may be only when you reach a certain stage, but, you know, the suggestion here from this work, obviously, is that there may be something affecting the broader population in a much bigger way than any of us can imagine.
Well, Cliff, and it brings the question to mind. I mean, you know, I've looked at some of these magnified samples of, materials and so forth that have been tested, that have come from these chemtrails. And some of these are remarkably similar, if you would, to some of these pictures that have depicted in this article. I mean, they've pulled them off of windshields of cars and plants and so forth. So, you know, I don't know, you know, I can't say, I'm not a doctor, if these tie in with, subject matter or chemical matter from these chemtrails, but they look rather similar.
I'll
tell you what, go ahead, real quick.
No, they do, and when we come back, I'll make one more connection.
All right, very good. All right, we'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000 plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. A longer segment. We've got a little more time to chat here, Cliff. And I had mentioned that I had seen a lot of these samples that had been taken off of car windshields and plants and, you know, dirt and so forth. And there's a remarkable similarity to some of these pictures that are depicted in here in this article that you wrote. And you were going to make another connection there. So go ahead.
It is, Michael, and it's actually getting even stronger. And again, this is not something I posted. I'm simply talking about, you know, we're on this Mergellans issue, and this happens to be recent research. And so I want to follow this through to where what I know at this point.
Well, you got the floor, buddy. Go ahead.
This work is as of last night. It is that recent. But now the question comes, if we're at this point where we're seeing this recurring theme through the blood and through the skin level of a submicron filament nature and network, and we know we have something from years ago that had that same, let's say, characteristic or property, but being an airborne sample, it's time to revisit that. Now, over the years, when I started out with a $30 microscope from the toy store and my 35-millimeter camera on top of it. And if you look back at those pictures, I did the best I could with what I had at that time. But extensive analysis was done on those airborne fibers to the level that I could. The most important conclusion that I could reach at that time with quite a bit of work and eventually getting the stuff where it was seen under a better microscope than what I had, I was able to reach the conclusion that the final structure of those fibers appeared to be at the submicron stage, the final fiber. That was important, but I couldn't see it for myself, really. I just knew that we were dealing with something that was small, very small, and was not as it appeared to the eye. As the eye, it appeared to be a single filament, similar to the type of thing we're talking about with Margellan's condition. It's time to revisit that. And that material, I don't have a whole lot of that. I keep it in custody elsewhere. But I've had some of that original material sent back to me, and that work probably dates back to 2000, I guess, because I've improved my microscopic techniques and methods. Still very limited with what I have, but I've tried to get the best I can out of what I have. And I wanted to revisit that original airborne sample that I had, and there was more than one. There's two or three available. I did that last night, and what I see now with, a little better methods and technique and equipment is that, indeed, that original airborne fiber has, all I can say is visually, I have an exact match. This is what I can say. I have visually, I have an identical match that now is showing extreme similarity, if not exactness of form, between the subfilament nature of that airborne sample, the subfilament nature of the skin fibrous manifestation, and the subfilament nature or network within the anomalies within the blood.
Okay. Well, Cliff, now, let me ask you this question. Let me, real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you here because I know you're on
fine.
A roll.
That's fine, but, Michael.
Okay, but sufficeth to say, would you concur that it is at least a distinct or a likely possibility that this stuff that you're examining from these people that are showing up in their blood or on their skin or whatever could very well be coming from the ingestion of particles from chemtrails? Now, you're not going on the hook and saying, yes, it is, but you're saying it's a good possibility.
Yes, and you know that I don't use the word chemtrails. I just don't because of my attempt to be accurate. So I'll always try to qualify that. I speak of airborne particles, particulate matter, and I speak of airborne filaments. And I speak of aerosols because these are accurate in terms of what's going on. So what this work says, it is obvious the work that should have been done. It is obvious the work that needs to be done. And that is to investigate clearly and definitively, regardless of what I think or I see or I record, verify whether there is a linkage between these three manifestations, forms, and structures, both environmental as well as health modification. It is obvious that's what should have been done. It's obvious that's what needs to be done. My work, I'm not going to say definitively that there is because I don't have that link. That's what I'm asking for. That's what I've been doing for years. But I'll say the case for investigation is quite clear.
Right.
And that burden does not fall on me or any single individual within this country. It falls, number one, it falls upon those people that are chartered to protect the welfare of the environment and our health. You have certain government agencies that we pay for that are supposed to be carrying out chartered functions that they have failed on completely, if not deliberately. And if that burden is not taking up, then this responsibility is shared by all of us. All of us on this planet have an equal responsibility to find out whether or not these observations and hypotheses are true or not.
And it poses the question, and by the way, I want to mention, folks, for those of you who haven't gone into my website already at www.theamericanawakening.org, Clifford Carnicom has an excellent video called Aerosol Crimes. I've posted that on my website. I've watched it. It's definitely well worth the view, and I would encourage you to go in there and take a look at it at some time in the not-too-distant future. And that, that brings me back to this, yes, Clifford, from what you've investigated, it's a distinct possibility that indeed, these particles may very well be being ingested. And yes, it's not your responsibility or mine or Dr. Hildegard Staniger's or Rosalind Peterson or any of these people. It is the responsibility of the EPA or the CDC or somebody in a government structure of which the taxpayer dollar pays for to uncover, to investigate this and find out what's going on. And so that poses the next question. Why are they not doing so, unless it's another possibility that they do know what's going on and they've been instructed not to do anything?
It's a very real question, and it was question number one. When the EPA refused to identify that, that made no sense from a logical point of view at all. There's a legal case there if anybody ever wants to pursue it, because EPA does not act on policy. They have a charter, and the charter is to protect the welfare of the environment. And so it's not okay. And so, yes, this is a question why. And so it's why I've never let that go from the beginning. It was obviously wrong. It's not somebody's whim to decide if you have some unidentified repeated. It's not one time. If you have repeated samples of something, which obviously if you're dealing, when you start dealing at the submicron range, you are talking about health issues. It's a matter of fact that the more particulates that you breathe, the more people will die. That's not something I need to try and make up or extrapolate. There is a direct correlation between the mortality rate and the crap we breathe into our body. And so if you have something that you can physically see that it's there, then it behooves us to at least say what it is. So the question is, yes, why did they not identify it, okay? And, you know, there's a real contradiction here, and that is, on this Mergellans condition, conceivably you have something here which is indeed a public health issue, maybe affecting a much more broad segment of the population than any of us could imagine. With what we know about the desire, interest, and focus of the pharmaceutical and medical organization on making money, does it make any sense to you or anyone that you would not, if you were able to come up with a new condition that we had, would you not go for broke to make sure we all have this condition, here's your drug, here's your treatment, and I can provide it to you? Why would you not have a medical institution and infrastructure that would not immediately attach itself to a condition of ill health if it was clearly affecting a large segment of the population? Under what conditions could that extraordinary non-event occur?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I know that they go to great lengths to make up diseases by which they can sell their pharmaceutical products that are marked up 400, 1,000 times, that are being peddled by the pharmaceutical industry. So, you know, the question that you've raised here, yes, why wouldn't they do that? If there is indeed, you know, some new, weird kind of illness or weird kind of bug out there, and they investigate it and they were to come up with a miracle drug for it, they would make billions and billions of dollars off of it. So the only thing that I can – and then here comes my conspiratorial mind at work. The only thing I can derive from this, at least with this limited investigation that I've done, Cliff, is that they indeed do know and they've been instructed to do nothing.
This would be the question, right? The logical answer to that question is that you're dealing with an agenda which is more powerful and stronger than that posed by the medical community. Okay? That's what it says.
Which is as serious, if not more serious, than the testing that you've done and the particles themselves.
It behooves to be answered. And, you know, mm-hmm. to follow this through in terms of the biological side, one more link to make, and then this issue would at least be encapsulated to the level of recent research. And that is, if you now trace back, take it back. There's two more, but take it back to the original presentation of that airborne filament sample to the EPA. If you actually look what's going on there, you will find separate and above. It was not known at the time that the samples were sent to the EPA. The samples were unusual enough. Just their size and nature in the environment was unusual enough to justify requesting identification from the EPA, and that's what's done. Above and beyond that, which I really had no idea at the time, but there is a parallel discovery that within those airborne samples, there were most extraordinary and unusual biological components within those fibers.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back in three. Hold that thought, Cliff. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Fantastic discussion going on here, folks. Call your friends and neighbors. Be right back.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
All right, folks, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Short segment again, coming up to the bottom of the hour. I have my guest, Cliff Carnicom. And, Cliff, I'm sure you being my neighbor over in New Mexico, you probably see these chemtrails going over two, three, four times a week as well.
Yes, in terms of average, I think that's probably pretty fair. You have some interesting periods for several weeks, even a couple, 2 to 3 months even, or say a couple months, each year where things get quiet and people start to think, not an issue anymore, this is not a problem. That seems to happen more regularly than people might realize. Here's, you know, we may be dealing with some seasonal things, have to do with a broader geophysical aspects. But in general, sorry, folks, it doesn't stop, hasn't gone away, and it continues.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's get back to this airborne filament samples that you were speaking of, Cliff. And I'd like to, you know, if we have a little time, I'd like to open up the phone lines after the bottom of the hour and just see what kind of input we get from the listening audience as far as what their experience is with it, or if they have any symptoms, or what's going on in their world. So go ahead, continue, Cliff.
I think we can do that pretty easily, Michael. I'm going to try to wrap this portion of it up, and that is that, you know, we mentioned that if you actually start digging into the work that was done very early in the game on those airborne samples, there is a presence of a biological aspect to that. And it's very strong in my work. And you're right. People do not want to talk about this particularly. That, when I brought that up for the first time, it, let's say it brought a lot of people out of the woodwork, yelling at me for that one. All I do is I just report the work as it happens and as it develops. But that was a very uncomfortable subject, early in the game when the work started showing, biological aspect to this in really a very unusual way. Things that, simply didn't make a lot of sense, involving what appears to be, the use of, a freeze-dried, biological components. To finish this up, and this is not meant to be a tease, but this is meant to let you know and the audience know where a future line of research is going beyond trying to establish whether or not there's any connection at this these three levels, namely airborne environmental samples, manifestation in the skin, and the condition of the blood. You know, that's the active topic of research. But I want to call attention to a paper that I wrote. And this thing was written, you know, the date on this thing was in 2004. This is 4 years ago now. It was in May, 4.5 years ago. There is a paper that I wrote, short, called Extraordinary Biological Observations. Now, all I can say is I think people might want to start revisiting this paper and try to dig in to what is actually being shown there. Because at the time I wrote it, I said, I don't understand this in the slightest bit, folks. This is not something that is supposed to happen. This is not known by any conventional biology at all. And that is the question of whether there was a culturing, deliberate, this was my work, a deliberate culturing of something that all I can say, if you look at the work, all I can say is it has a perfect visual and size and structure match to that of an erythrocyte. An erythrocyte is a red blood cell. You are not supposed to be able to grow, quote, unquote, blood cells. This is the holy grail of biology is to be able to, let's say, grow blood cells. This is what the whole stem cell thing is about. You're not supposed to be able to do this. I would like people to review what they see on that paper, start asking some questions, and then to simply let you know that this looks like an active area of research again.
Now, this particular article back in May of 2004, they can get that off of your website at carnicom.com?
It is there. And understandably, I know the article is brief. I did not want to overextend myself. I simply wanted to report what I was saying and say, folks, this is way beyond something that I think is in our normal range. What's going on here? That's what it was about. It looks like that topic is going to be revisited. And I can summarize our discussion on the Mergellans, you know, at that point today, realizing or accepting that the biological aspect is one of seven. What I will do is I'll list the other six so that people know. There are seven aspects of this research which to me are all complementary to one another and necessary to consider. The first would be that of environmental modification and control. You know, popular term would be weather control, but that's not enough to talk about everything we're saying. But that would certainly be one legitimate aspect of research to be considered and has been considered. The second would be that of biological operations, which we're speaking of today. The third would be that of electromagnetic operations. We just briefly touched on it. The fourth would be military operations. The fifth would be actually an extension to considerations of effect upon the planet itself, what you'd call geophysical considerations. That's more conceptual, but it is not out of line. There's some interesting research that's been done involving energy and time and this type of thing.
Okay, do me a favor, Cliff. Hold the last two till we get back from the break. And, folks, when we get back from the break, I'm going to open up the phone lines here, 800-313-9443. Feel free to call in with a question or comment you might have or a story for my guest, Cliff Carnicom. We will be back in three, and we'll get those other two. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Cliff Carnicom. That's www.carnicom.com. And the phone lines are open, folks, 800-313-9443 if you have a question or comment. Now, Cliff was giving us the 7 aspects of these, the offset or the offspring of these chemtrails, or, well, it's not chemtrails, it's particles. Modular control?
Modification, Michael.
Modification control. Biological, electromagnetic, military, geophysical, and what's the other two, Cliff?
Number 6 on the list would be the implementation or development of a surveillance system that uses light instead of radio. All of us are familiar with radar, and radar is where you use radio waves to bounce something off of an object to detect it. There is a, conceptually, there is a similar process that can be put into place using light waves instead of radio waves. And the important part of that is that the size of the particles that we're speaking of is a match for light detection methods. And radio waves, you detect bigger objects like ships and planes because of the size of the wavelengths involved. But when you're talking about submicroscopic particles and micron-sized particles and tracking or detecting those particles, light wave is what makes sense. And there's a LIDAR system that conceptually is fitting with the data. And the last would be... I'll give you the technical term, and then I'll give you the common term. The technical term would be detection of plasma or ionic disturbances in the atmosphere. Application would be detection or monitoring of exotic propulsion systems, and the common language would be consideration of detection of UFOs.
Wow.
So that would be seven aspects that have evolved over a period of 8 to 9 years of research that are all mutually complementary and supportive of one another with all of the data to be available. They are not exclusive of one another. It is expected that they all or some could easily be important in these operations.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you gave me these last two. One of them, you know, a light bulb went off in my head because I had a caller, and I believe the gentleman's got a website. Can't remember his name offhand, but we were on the subject. I had read this article last week regarding chemtrails. But when you mentioned surveillance system, and he was on the topic of barium, one of the chemicals or one of the particles that are in these, you know, the emissions that are coming out of the back of these jets is barium. And this gentleman had mentioned that if you ingest it into your lungs, it's kind of, I don't know, is it radioactive or is there something that would cause that, that you know, if you're walking around and you use this light wave device or whatever, that you would show up or this barium would show up in your lungs? Is there any...
That's an interesting question, and that would actually make sense. You know, barium, the non-soluble forms of barium are used, just as you're saying, to track what's happening in your stomach or in your gut, you know, intestinal tracking.
Right, they use that. Yeah, they use that in the hospital to do.
Yes, non-soluble forms. However, soluble forms are highly toxic. And right now, though, the information indicates that we're dealing with soluble forms. Those would form hydroxides, and those are soluble, and those are of different class. So, you know, without knowing the actual constitution in the body and what's going on, I don't know that we'll answer that deliberately, but yes, it raises a question. My idea and thinking is based simply upon the conceptual basis of LIDAR, in that just as you can reflect a radio wave off of a metal object 2 feet in diameter, you can also reflect a light wave off of a micron-sized structure and track it also.
Right, and so you've got this whole myriad of questions that would arise regarding these seven different aspects, and the problem that we have here, and with all the diligent testing that you've been doing, we have a heck of a lot more questions than we do answers, and we have a couple of government agencies, i.e. the EPA and the CDC, that doesn't want to touch it. Then, you know, here comes another question, is why don't they want to touch it, which again brings my conspiratorial viewpoint of if they don't want to touch it, they probably have been instructed not to touch it, and, you know, you could go off in so many different directions here, Cliff, of the electromagnetic you can tie in, or you can speculate, or you can conspiratorize the HARP equipment and so forth. And a lot of people have done so in articles that they've written. But the problem that we have is that we really don't have any answers. We want the answers. People like you, Dr. Hildegard Staniger, Rosalind Peterson, and so forth, we're putting pressure on these people to give us answers, but they won't give us any, for crying out loud.
This is a reality. This is a fact. this is
and
true.
So in your mind, with what you've been doing, and obviously, you know, a lot of the the information analysis that you've been uncovering, it's got to be very frustrating for you to continually, you know, put this stuff forth and say, hey, look, I've uncovered this. What is this? What is that? And with the research that you've been doing, and these people are not only are they saying, well, it's not our policy, but I understand there was a Senate. I don't know whether it was a Senate hearing or whatever, that they basically called the chemtrails a hoax, that it didn't exist.
Yeah, that's our military doing that. And there's a sidelight to that, by the way. The person that they used to claim that this was a hoax or state that it was a hoax, there's a follow-up on that several years later that most people are not aware of. And that is the individual that was used to put forth that statement is a master intelligence officer within the Air Force.
So, a master intelligence officer. So I'm going to assume a master intelligence officer has the rank of at least a colonel, right?
Yeah, I don't know his rank, but I would think that's quite reasonable. But certainly what it says is that the person that tried to frame and characterize this issue to the general public is in a position and business of manipulating and analyzing and manipulating information to produce certain outcomes and desired outcomes. I think that's fair.
I'll tell you what, Cliff, if I recall correctly, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and I think this was at the onset of my awakening a couple of years ago when I was, I was going through and looking at dozens of websites day in and day out for several months, and yours happened to be on my list, and I went through, and it seems to me, now I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that I went in and I ran across an article or two where there was a mechanic at an Air Force base or an airport or something of that nature that indeed did uncover specific canisters on jets and reported on that. Was that on your site?
Yeah, he said that he did, Michael. Yes, there have been two times, maybe three times in 8 years that I have posted something that I would put you can use the word hearsay, you can use testimony, whatever you like, but basically a statement from somebody based upon solely the reliability or credibility of that person in himself. There's been three times that I have done that. That was one of them, and the information was put forth exactly in that fashion, in the sense that this was received. I'm not trying to, let's say, make a decision on veracity or not, but it is interesting and significant enough that I believe it should be made available to the public. There's three times that's been done, two or three, and that was one of them.
Okay, so yeah, this is just something that you've put out there. All right, I'll tell you what, my phone lines are starting to load up. Let's take some calls, Cliff. Let's first go to Don in Oregon. Don, you're on with Michael and Cliff Carnicom. Go ahead.
You there?
Yes.
How are you doing, Michael?
Yes, Don. I'm doing fine, Don. How are you?
Just got through shoveling off the last 4 inches of snow on the front porch. I hate
it. That's because you live in Oregon, my friend.
Well,
go ahead.
That's because I live at a high desert elevation in Oregon. But at any rate, on point here, not necessarily. I can't draw a relationship to the issue that is being discussed, but I have a question. I don't know if you or your guest listens to some of the other program hosts on RBM, but on Saturday or Sunday mornings, Dr. Wynn Parker has a program, and he is primarily focused on, not necessarily concerned with, but focused on at the moment, with an issue of contamination of water, okay, or drinking water, and some of the potential nefarious operations that are involved in that. As well, he has an agenda that he is putting forth where I believe he wants to try to put together what he calls a grand jury of science and investigation. It's a scientific grand jury that deals primarily at the federal level down, as we've come to know it, that would address issues of concern that deal with our health, okay? And it would be a jury of peers that have knowledge of and concern for humanity. So I'm just going to use that term, okay? But in that, I am wondering, the thought crosses my mind, according to what your guest has put forth, if maybe there might not be another cause out there. That if I didn't hear it, then I apologize. But and I don't want to, because we are talking about, quote, conspiracy theory, end quote, I'm wondering if there might not be a eugenics issue involved in this.
Cliff, you want to comment on that? I mean, the eugenics, does that enter into it?
Well, yeah, again, I don't have a magic answer, but it, again, as Michael was saying, you raise questions, and that's my main job here. Yes, I do observational work and I do analytical work. That's my background. But the end value of what I am trying to do, and most likely accomplishing, is simply raise some questions and point the direction for things that I know should be done that affect our general state. If you are speaking about systems in place that have the potential to modify quite possibly our very biological, let's say, nature or structure, then control of that biological species is indeed another consideration, right? Control, manipulation of that species, namely the human species, is indeed a consideration. Again, I'm not going to say that we are, you know, creating some super race. I'm simply saying that it's quite reasonable for me to consider what am I doing if I have systems in place that affect the biology of the human species at a fundamental level.
All right.
Okay.
I accept that. Like I said, it was a thought that crossed my mind, and I thought I'd pop the question because it exceeds my intellect right now.
Don, do me a favor. We're running out of time.
Sure.
I've got other calls. I want you to do me a favor, though, before you hang up. Give my board operator your telephone number again, because I was going to call you last week, and I can't. I misplaced your number, Don. So,
well, it's a good thing you didn't, because things went to hell in a handbasket here. I mean, the computer, telephone, you know, my service provider when they figured out winter was coming on, they went south with the summer.
Okay, well, if you would give out another contact number. Okay,
yeah,
all right. Thanks a lot, Don.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Cliff, let's go to Jeff in Colorado. Jeff, you're on with Michael and Cliff. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, Jeff. Yes.
Yeah, you know, here in Colorado, during most of the summer, the chemtrails have really decreased, and now they're picking back up big time. But I'll ask my question, then I'll hang up and listen to the answer. I want to know if he's got an air filter in his home, and if we should go run out and get some air filters. And I'll
Cliff?
Hang up and listen.
Cliff,
to
have you got an air filter?
I've done extensive work with air. Yeah, the answer is yes. But, you know, I breathe. I travel. I work every day outside, so I can't carry that. I hope I didn't lose you there, Michael. Did I?
No, I'm fine. Yeah, go ahead.
Good. Yeah, the phone fell. I've done extensive work with air filters as an environmental testing device, and many of the samples that have been analyzed are coming through air filtration samples. There was a time when I was wearing a mask for about close to 2 to 3 years. You know, the air is contaminated. It is. The air has been changed. We have to deal with that reality in the way that we see fit. But it becomes a little bit difficult when you're talking about what you breathe. We don't have a controlled environment on our planet. Maybe you can control your room, but how are you going to control the very air that you breathe on a general level?
Right, yeah. Well, no, I mean, and as long as he brought it up, you know, I think it's called a HEPA, H-E-P-A
sure.
filter?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, in my research, I've run across these as well, and I've seen some of those samples of particles that have come out of these, you know, jet fumes or whatever. You've got me not calling them chemtrails either. So, but they've taken the.
You don't need to be influenced too much, Michael. That's just my own style. That's all.
I mean, I've heard that from Rosalind Peterson and Marilyn Barnwell as well.
The problem is there's no definition to that term. There's simply no definition. And if you ever present yourself to anybody requesting identification or investigation of the issue, you will be dismissed readily at hand because there's no definition about what you're even talking about. Other than
right.
common language. So it's a problem of language and the way we react to language and that type of thing.
Well, you know, you mentioned masks a couple minutes ago. I have a sponsor, Lametco International, that, you know, he sent me a package of these masks. They look kind of like a paint mask, you know.
Sure.
And of course, I'm vain. I don't use them. But, you know, I've seen, I don't know, every once in a while I'll see somebody walking around with a mask at the outside the grocery store or something of that nature. Would you say, in light of your research with what you've done and with what you see, that it might be a good idea to start wearing one? What is your opinion of that, Cliff?
No, I'm not going to say that because, number one, it's an absolute sin. If we need to be wearing such a thing, that's a sin and a crime in itself, that the environment is in such a state that we need to even consider such a thing. That would be one response. The second is that it appears to me that the state of the immune system, or our general state of health in the immune system, is probably, in the end, more instrumental in determining our success in dealing with these contaminants. Certainly, but I think it's an absolute travesty that as a species on this planet, that we should even have to entertain the notion or consideration of wearing a filtration device counteract our very sustenance.
It's interesting you brought that up, because I was just talking about yesterday. I had a couple of my sponsors up on the air talking about building the immune system. But at any rate, I'll tell you what. Let's go to I believe this is my attorney buddy in your state of New Mexico, Clay. Clay, you're on with Michael and Cliff Carnicom. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking the call. I caught the first part of the program where Mr. Carnicom was talking about submitting some samples to the EPA and taking a year and a half or two to get them back. And then I missed it because I had to take off, and I just got back in the office. I was wondering whether Mr. Carnicom had submitted samples to the EPA in the state of New Mexico, the state environmental health department.
Yes, Clay, what happened with that, first of all, with the EPA is they returned them, but they did not identify them. They refused to identify them.
Correct.
So that's number one. Number two, the direct answer would be no, not in a physical form, although the New Mexico Environmental Air Quality was directly contacted. Spoke with them personally, and it was in terms of from them.
Okay, let me hold you up. I'll hold you over, Clay. We got to go to a break. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening with Cliff Carnicom, my guest. We'll be back in three, folks. Stick with us.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website, www.energy-swapped.com, and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
All right, we're back. Final segment of the American Awakening. Your host, Michael Herzog, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I've got my guest, Cliff Carnicom, on the line, and I believe Clay is still with us. Clay, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here. I didn't quite catch the end of what Mr. Carnicom said about submitting it to New Mexico air quality folks.
No physical samples have been formally submitted by me to any agency or official of the New Mexican government. That being said, extensive contact has been made with the state of New Mexico through the whatever their agency is, and second, the Attorney General.
Right.
They have been contacted. They have been requested to investigate the issue, as many other political officials have. They have refused to be involved in any way and acting upon that request.
Did you make any of those requests in writing to the New Mexico Air Quality? It was just by telephone.
Yes. No, there's a whole body of correspondence with the New Mexico Environmental Department. There is correspondence to Patricia Madrid and the Attorney General. Patricia Madrid, the Attorney General, refused to meet with me. Either two or three separate times where I made a visit to her office after submitting her a letter formally. There's simply been no adequate response by anybody from a representative of the New Mexican government that I have seen.
Okay. Well, if there's any government that would do it, it would seem to be New Mexico, because the law seems to be the law west of the Pecos here in New Mexico, and I don't understand why they're not assisting you with it, but I would like to find out. So maybe I'll touch base with you and then contact the EPA here in the state myself just to see what they say.
That sounds great, Clay. What we can do is review what's been done, and you can evaluate that and then decide to go from there where you'd like.
Okay, I'll be in contact with you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Clay. Thanks for the call. Yeah, Clay's an attorney there in your home state of New Mexico, Cliff. All right, I'll tell you what, we only got a couple of minutes left, Cliff. Anything that you would like to leave my audience with before we depart?
Well, I'm wondering if it's okay to give an 800 number for the people to get a copy of the documentary.
Absolutely. Go ahead. Yeah.
I want to make it clear that this documentary is sold at cost. There is no profit attached to this, and people that are distributing this across the country and globe, for that matter, are acting solely out of their goodness and kindness of their heart to make this available to you. They can recover their costs, but there is no profit. An instrumental lady in this process, there are many, but an instrumental lady is by the name of Harriet Fell. She has done absolute wonders. Her telephone number is 1-800-335-7226. 1-800-335-7226. And
yes.
She'll get a copy
Harriet's
to you.
Harriet's one of those ladies that was pestering me to get you on the show.
she's done a wonderful
Go
job.
Ahead.
So I appreciate that opportunity very much, and also the opportunity to speak with you today on one very important aspect of this issue.
Well, Cliff, I'll tell you what, it's been a very informative show, and I strongly appreciate Harriet recommending me, although I will tell you, I have scanned your website three or four times, and I've always had it on my list of having you up on my show. I strongly appreciate you coming on. I would be honored if I was able to have you up again at some time in the not-too-distant future, sir.
I'd be glad to do so, and I appreciate your involvement and willingness to help get this information out.
All right, very good. Thank you so much for coming on, Cliff Carnicom. I really appreciate that, okay?
Thank you, Michael.
Okay. All right, folks, the end of another day. Cliff Carnicom, a lot of information coming out today. Remember, stay tuned for the National Intel Report with John Stadmiller. I will see you again tomorrow. It will be a Friday, the end of another week. So have a good rest of the day, and I will talk to you then. Bye-bye.